Ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the work. You thought you were just getting lunch, but we've trapped you here for 3 hours of solid work. It's a pleasure, if you don't know this person, for me to introduce my colleague, Lee Yetter. Lee was one of the originators of the White Paper Project and co-lead author of the White Paper. She now is the senior director in the Provost office here at McGill, and she and I will MC this three-hour working plenary. I'm going to tell you a little bit about how we are going to do this, and then we will introduce the first presenters, and I hope that you are refreshed and ready to work together. The focus today for the next 3 hours, surprise, surprise, is on the PhD. And we're very fortunate to have recruited six presenters who will work in couples to address a number of questions around the PhD. And we'll introduce them in turn. Each couple of presenters will get 12 minutes to share their ideas with you. Clearly, they'll only be sharing a selection of their ideas with you. At the end of their presentation, they will put a question to the whole room. We'll put the question up on the screen. Please, you will have 15 minutes at your tables to answer those questions in 1 to 3 sentences, short sentences. And email those sentences to Saj, who will put up his email address. He will put together a PowerPoint of all of the answers that we've generated in this room. We'll take a little break just to make sure that we've got everything running, and then we'll come back and open the discussion. We'll have a verbal and a visual discussion going on at the same time. I just want to say it's a little tricky at first because you'll be listening to other people, but there will be ideas scrolling past your eyes on the screen. But just, you know, we're talking about mobility, nimbleness. That's the kinds of things we're going to do this afternoon. The first session will require you to do 15 minutes of table work and answer a question that will come from the presenters. That topic is program. The second, which focuses on people, we heard a lot about that, mentorship, supervision, and so on. That will be the topic of the second couple of presenters, and they will put a question to you and we will ask you to answer that question. The third couple of presenters will address the broader question of purpose. And since we don't want to do table work three times, we will go right to the discussion from the question that they put to the whole room at the end of their presentation. What we want to do is make sure that we keep track of the answers that are coming from us, and we're doing that because we'll be able to do that because there will be at least one person at each table with a working Wi-Fi and able to send the answers to the questions to Saj. Tomorrow you will see answers to the question printed out in various places where we will be meeting, so that we will be reminded of the kinds of thinking that we're doing this afternoon. Let me pass the mic over to my colleague Lee.
Good afternoon. It's nice to see such a full house. I'll stay away from you. Your microphone, not stay away from you. As I was saying, it's nice to see such a full house and to see so many familiar faces. Before we get started, I should just say that although all of the six presentations this afternoon are all in English, we are a bilingual group, so I invite you to write your responses or ask your own questions in French if you'd like to. If necessary, we'll translate back and forth. But please feel free to respond in the language in which you are most comfortable. As Paul said, our first theme will be program. And our first two speakers are Martin Kreisworth and Catherine Temple. Martin Crisworth is Associate Provost, Graduate Education, and Dean of Graduate and Postdoctoral Studies, as well as Professor of English here at McGill. He is also Professor Emeritus at Western University, where he was Dean of Graduate Studies and Founding Director of the Center for the Study of Theory and Criticism. He is editor of the Faulkner Journal and on the boards of 20th Century Literature and Modern Fiction Studies. His research interests include narrative theory, literary theory, William Faulkner, critical intellectual history, interdisciplinarity, and historical fiction. His books include Contemporary Literary and Cultural Theory, The Johns Hopkins Guide to Literary Theory and Criticism, Constructive Criticism, The Human Sciences in the Age of Theory, Theory Between the Disciplines, Authority, Vision, and Politics. Catherine Temple chairs the Department of English at Georgetown University, where she has been working with a collaborative team to reinvent doctoral education in the humanities under the auspices of an MLA Mellon grant called Connected Academics. The grant is devoted to rethinking the PhD in light of the current job market and the need to articulate the value of the humanities both within and outside the academy. Her scholarly work in legal cultural studies focuses on the relationship between affect and institutional structures. Other projects so include outreach to non-traditional students through her website, altstudentsuccess.com, and through the Loyola Castle program, aimed at transitioning veterans into academic culture.
Set.
It's entirely up to you.
I'll sit. Okay, thank you. I'll jump in this. We have 6 minutes each, which is why we sneakily gave you this long piece of paper, because we couldn't possibly do this in 12 minutes. But these are the issues we think are behind it, and I hope they'll guide your discussion in the groups. One of the things, so I don't think I need to go into that background statement. I think it's pretty well agreed. When I mean general agreement, I mean historical, traditional, accepted. I don't mean necessarily it should be. It's not normative. But that's the way the PhD has always been about, create autonomous scholars in our disciplines. What you do with that is one of the issues we're talking about today, where it goes, how it happens. One of the things that I think has been neglected, and this has to do with my own personal experience of being in graduate studies for many years at two different institutions and also with other organizations outside of the institutions, internationally and domestically, is I've had to look at a lot of graduate programs. So I've reviewed at least 300 or 400 graduate programs in the last 15 years. Many of them, not all of them, this is across the disciplines in the humanities. And one of the things that I've always thought was unusual was that there's very little innovation in graduate programs in themselves. The program structure. We spend endless hours with innovation in undergraduate structures. You know, universities spend a lot of time to create committees. We assume in North America that there's little differences across the world, but essentially that graduate programs are about creating researchers, and the programs know best how to do that. And they have followed, though, a certain pattern, and I gave those the current North American program models. So they involve usually those components. Have we thought about ways of changing those components, making those components do other things? So you notice the discussion this morning, and a lot of our discussion assumes that the dissertation is the only thing you do in a graduate program. That's what we were talking about. You want to change graduate programs in the humanities, or change the dissertation? But we do lots of other things, and I think a lot of those other things are things that really need attention. And that's what I hope that discussion will do today. So, for example, many of the alternative or other or increased, let's say writing skills, just pick one, the kinds of writing skills that you may want to tweak in a dissertation form, you could tweak other ways. You could tweak it in things that they do before the dissertation form. I think we should question everything about the comprehensives, the courses, the language requirements, the kinds of things that we do in graduate programs before the dissertation, because, in fact, this is usually not agreed upon by anecdote, but if you look at data, the reason people take a long time to do dissertations in the humanities is not the dissertation. It's what you have to do before you write the dissertation. So if we really want to stop the times to completion that are excessive, and I'm saying which ones are excessive and which ones aren't, I think we really need to think about the program and get people writing whatever form we want the dissertation to take sooner and make sure we don't have any redundant, useless things in the program or things that we think are maybe outmoded. So just to give you one thing, and then I'll turn it over to Catherine, is coursework and admission requirements. All of humanities programs, or any text-based program as opposed to scientific experimental programs, involve saying, you need to know something before you can do advanced research. You need to know something before you do graduate. How do we know what that need to know something is? Well, traditionally, for the last 100 years, it's been the courses you've taken before you got to graduate school. And then we say, you know what, not quite enough. You need some more courses. And depending on the university and the degree, maybe you need some more courses. And then maybe you need a comprehensive that also actually fills in for courses because it talks about all the things you may not have done. Now, I'm giving a caricature here of that one piece. But you can see what I mean, that we need to think about that. Is that really right? What if we had an admission requirement that was this? Do we really need courses on top of that? Do we need a person to take another 18th century course after they've taken three as an undergraduate in literature? So the last thing I'll say is that the other piece that I haven't talked about, but I would love to talk about perhaps some other venue, if not today, is that once you do know what your program is, and you're very clear that this is a good program, the most important thing in terms of getting it to work efficiently is to monitor it and track it. We sometimes have great programs, and some of these 300 or so programs that I've looked at are fantastic. They're really good. But some of them don't have a good way of tracking it. So on paper, the program's great. When you look at what the student actually did, not so great. One example is comprehensives. Lots of people have comprehensives. They say you need to take them right in the brochure and the website in year two or year one. You find out how many people really took them in year two. Maybe 30%, 25%. There's something wrong with that. So the program's good, but the actual implementation of the program isn't. So I think tracking the program, monitoring back to the student, back to the program, is equally important with designing a good program. We have a bunch of other things that are involved in the program, including, of course, not to lessen the role of the dissertation, that Catherine's going to bring forward.
Okay. So. We do have a very long handout here, and I know everyone here can read, so I'm not going to read the handout. But I did want to talk a little bit about our experience at Georgetown and how that has led me to where I am today, sitting up here. So at Georgetown about 5 years ago, we decided the English department did not have a PhD, and we're the only English department in our cohort of universities that doesn't have a PhD in English, and one of the few in the humanities at Georgetown that doesn't have a PhD in English. And largely that was because of the job market problems that have been going on for many years. So we decided that we were going to propose a different new kind of PhD program, and it basically was it was based on four pillars. One was shorter time to degree, and we had different things in place to make that happen. One was that it would be interdisciplinary in some way. It would encourage interdisciplinarity. One was that, and this seemed to us the most obvious and reasonable and smallest intervention that we could possibly make, that there would be 1 3-credit requirement for an internship in the public humanities. And obviously, we're located in Washington, D.C., so we're perfectly located for that. We had a long list of institutions and organizations and even private corporate organizations who wanted to work with our students. So that extremely obvious small measure that we wanted to take turned out to be about as controversial as, say, setting up a terrorist cell on the White House lawn. Okay, so... So we went through a long process, many meetings. I finally did get a positive vote in the department and then stalled out at the graduate school, partly because we were in the midst of getting a new graduate dean. In the meantime, I opened the Chronicle one day, and there's a story about a report that the MLA was doing on doctoral education in which they had set out a number of very important changes they wanted to encourage, short time to degree. you know, alternatives to the traditional dissertation, interdisciplinarity, some kind of recognition of the value of the degree outside the academy. Those were the things they were talking about. And I thought, wow, you know, we didn't even know we're operating in a vacuum here. Apparently we can't get off the hill at Georgetown, you know, but wow, this is going to be great. I'm going to, you know, email with the MLA. And then the next thing I know, I did get involved with the Smellen Grant, which is really about reinventing doctoral education. It involves Arizona State, which is probably one of the most innovative and controversial institutions in the U.S. right now, the Irvine Humanities Center and Georgetown. Okay, so that's how I got involved in this. It's very new. We actually spent the last 3 days at Georgetown in a design lab trying to rethink what we're doing and how we're going to do it. And I'm extremely excited to be here and be able to talk about these kinds of ideas for today and tomorrow. Okay, so the things that are preoccupying me are pretty much at the bottom of the second page here. And obviously, you'll see where I had to tell you where I'm coming from because of the first question. We can't assume enthusiastic support among faculty. How do we manage resistance to change? You know, I think that's a very important one for all of us. And I think all of the changes we're talking about really map on to the value of the humanities outside the academy, right, as well as inside the academy. So I think that's something that we need to talk about. But without further trying to digest what's on these two pages, I think we do have two or three central questions. We never got to question.
We have one alternative question.
We do. Okay.
An alternative form of the single question is what we have.
All right. Okay. So I think we probably should
and
turn
I think,
to that.
Is that what he should put up now, Paul?
Yes.
Okay. So essentially what we were thinking is, with this behind you, if you can read the handout quickly, those deal with the issues. It's not big enough. Anyone who's my age, come to the front. Okay.
Is that better?
There you go. Should have had it on the bottom of the handout.
Okay, so the first question is, what's the single major change that we might be able to make, right, that would most beneficial change to PhD humanities programs? And when I posed that question, I was thinking, you know, let's think outside the box, outside finances, outside the economics of it, right? But then the second question is one I think is sort of a linchpin question. Like, what is one small change, right, that may lead to much bigger changes, right? What is one small manageable change that almost anyone could make in any program that could lead or open a door to some of these other changes? And I'm thinking about that metaphor of the adjacent room, right? Create a door, even a small, narrow door, into another room, and maybe the next room has three or four doors, and the next room has more doors, okay? And then our last question was what needs to change in humanities academic culture, right, for these kinds of changes to occur? And I think that's very related to, you know, the kind of cultural resistance we got at Georgetown over our new proposals
morning.
And what was talked about this morning as well.
Yeah. So these can form some of the possible things if you want, but, you know, you all have your own experiences that you could bring to this as well.
Right.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
That it?
That's it.
Should we visit tables?
You can visit tables. You can walk around and collect checks. And Marty and Catherine will return in 20 minutes.
That's great. That was really great.
Yeah, good.
Thank you.